Crazy weather. I don't know what to wear anymore. Amen. But the Bible never changes. Amen. The weather may. Welcome to Iowa. Stick around. Yeah. It'll change. Hallelujah. Well, we're continuing to talk about the Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost, tonight we invite you here. Help us. Open up our hearts. We open up our hearts to you and our minds, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding are lightened, that we may know the glorious light of the gospel tonight. And Holy Ghost, we thank you that you're giving us illumination, revelation, and understanding so we can grow closer to you, change, and grow in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit gives us capacity, meaning the Holy Spirit changes us on the inside when we accept him, but just a recap scriptures here. John 15:26, New Living Translation says, and this is Jesus speaking, I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit when it testifies about Jesus. I remember years ago, I've told this before, but we went to a Sunday night. We went to a church, and they had a person that used to be a medium or into the occultic realm, and just talking about different things. And you're not with the Holy Spirit, and you're not with the Lord when things are happening, and there's no mention of Jesus. You know, and there's no joy. And there's tension, and it's a really strange feeling. We know a couple of things. First of all, the Holy Spirit will always speak the word, and also, too, the Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus. That's how we know that if it's the Holy Spirit or not, is does it testify about Jesus, and does it reflect the word? And also, John chapter 16, verse 7, and it says, but in fact, again, Jesus speaking, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. So Jesus, when he left, when he died and he raised from the dead, then at that point, we know that there is another one that came along after him to continue his ministry, which was the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is very, very wonderful. It's part of the Godhead, but then also people act like he's, scary. And, the term ghost, Holy Spirit. But again, the Holy Spirit is just simply a byproduct. And it says exactly what Jesus says, exactly what the Father says, and the Holy Spirit. They all say, they're all three in one. They're saying the same thing. Let's look at, and then last week we did talk about Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. In Galatians chapter 5, it delineates the difference between basically, a life without God and a life with God, right? It's life without the Holy Spirit, and then it shows us a life with the Holy Spirit. So, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the portion that is without the Holy Spirit is what? It's talking about immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, which is the King James is witchcraft, sorcery, hostility, jealousy, quarreling, outbursts of anger. These aren't some things that, you want to go to a friend's house and experience these things, right? These are not attributes that you want. And these are not attributes that anybody wants. But these attributes are people who think about themselves. And the Holy Spirit, we were talking about in prayer, just about Jesus' commandment meant is what? What is his whole commandment? It is love the Lord thy God with your entire heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? The works of the flesh are not loving other people. Remember when our girls were little, some of us had little kids, and what's the couple of favorite words little kids have? First of all, no and mine, right? Yeah, those are good. And some adults, we still use those things too, right? But mine, that's a fleshly term, isn't it? Mine. You ever notice how when kids, there's like a whole room full of toys, but one of the siblings has one toy, and that's the toy that they want, right? And that's the flesh. Right? We want that toy. That's covenants. So we look at this 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. We'll start with add some additional things tonight. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and this is the King James. I'm sorry. We'll use the King James tonight. No apology, Gary's like, I've got the King James Bible. It's going to be great. It's going to be all right. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through, everybody, with the King James. But it says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. It's kind of like anything else. Whoever you hang out with is going to who you're going to become. Remember that old saying? Well, this is probably the old saying is you lie with dogs, you get up with fleas, right? So whoever you hang around, you're going to have that same thing here. Works of the flesh, it's kind of contagious, isn't it? You know? I remember in school, it seems like when I was in school, high school, that was like, you know, back when they were making the pyramids, it feels like some days. It used to be like a few years. Now it's like several years. Now it's decades ago, and it just keeps getting. So it's like, well, it's further out, you know. So I think I got another class reunion coming up that I probably won't go to. But anyway, anymore. But so you look at these things, and you know that the people that act bad got off on other people, didn't it? That it started corrupting other people, right? Why is it so important to stop this behavior and allow the Holy Spirit to come in so that it doesn't spread? You know, a lot of the Old Testament was basically God trying to avoid the spread of certain behaviors and things going on, right? Remember our little one-year Bible? I mean, you know, God's put a lot of effort in to try to curb some of these things, right? Well, Jesus didn't come yet, but he sent the law, right? So before that, there was, you know, everybody just kind of was a, how can I say, before the law came, I mean, there were some statutes and some, you know, some civilizations before that had some rules and things like that. But really, God's coming up and saying, you know what, it's really not a good idea to kill people, you know, with the Ten Commandments, right? So he's trying to lay some things down. And as we study the Word, it's a gradual revelation. The gradual progress until Jesus shows up. And then when Jesus showed up, then we can get saved and born again, and then our nature changes, which we talked about and kind of touch base again tonight. But we see that God came in with the law, and he said, you know what? You shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't steal, you don't need to do these things. Why? Because he's trying to get us to look at these behaviors are evil, they're contagious, and they were contagious. When you read the Bible, wait till our one-year Bible later on when we get farther down in the Old Testament, right? We're going to see some pretty wicked kings. We're going to see some bad things happening, right? Because they didn't take these things seriously and it spread. Well, farther down on that, on Galatians chapter 5, we see verse 22. Again, the byproducts of the Holy Spirit. That's completely opposite of the selfish part. Because really, the works of the flesh, meaning all of these things about, you know, all the bad things that happen, it's about someone that is void of the Holy Spirit, and they are very self-centered, right? Because I'm going to use you or whatever for my benefit. Little kids do that, and some people just never grow out of it. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit, what? In our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here we go, self-control. There is no law against these things, right? There's no rule about having too much self-control, right? Well, he's just too loving. Or they're just, you know, they just have too much goodness. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that about somebody, right? You know, they're just too good. Maybe they have, but it's not something that we say. Or, you know, they're just too self-controlled. Right? Let's just throw a few screaming kids on there about 3 o'clock in the morning. Some baby screaming about 3 o'clock in the morning. We're going to see how self-controlled you are, right? We're going to put you to the test, right? I'm pretty sure God put that in there, a little test for us when kids come along. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody's hungry, right? See how self-controlled you are. We're going to see how gentle you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17, again, we touched base on some of these things. When Christ died, he paid the price for us. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the old life is gone, here we go, and a new life has begun. The King James says we're a new creature. So what I'd like to say is Jesus paid the price. The Holy Spirit is the delivery. He is the Amazon van, right? That shows up with salvation. And he shows up with the gifts. And we see the fruits in Galatians chapter 5, right? Jesus paid the price, and the Holy Spirit delivers the goods. We see in Luke that he breathed into the disciples, and at that point it says the Holy Spirit breathed on them, and they became born again. And then we see in Acts chapter 2, which we'll get more into, is when the Holy Spirit came upon them. In the Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon them, which is the promise Jesus told them about, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So again, the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. It's very important. So people say, well, I'm saved, I've got the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do, but we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. And so there's definitely additional things there. So Romans 5, 3 and 5, again, these are some scriptures we read last week, but I want to read the end of it in verse 5, and it says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. This is a New Living Translation. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit, here we go, to fill our hearts with love. The King James, I like that. It says, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? So we don't have the capacity to be born again. We don't have the capacity to love without the Holy Spirit, right? Because in Galatians chapter 5, the attributes or the personality types or the characteristics, we could say, maybe more accurately, the characteristics of love originate from the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit is an advocate or one that is just like Jesus. And what with Jesus? He loves too. John 3:16. From that scripture, we all learn that when we're, kids' church. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. And the alternative to not believing in him is you're condemned already. It's not because of, you're so good or so bad. It all comes down to just a faith issue, not believing and calling on him. Mark 2:21, and we'll get into a few additional kind of trains of thought tonight. Besides, talking about Mark 2:21, and it says, besides, who would patch, and this is Jesus talking about, he's talking about taking new wine, he's talking about, and then potentially pouring it into an old wine cloth or a wine sack. And he goes on, he describes, he says, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? Right? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins, right? So what Jesus is really talking about here, he's really discussing moving forward that our old man does not have the capacity to receive the things of God, the new wine. Now, when Jesus was there and his first miracle was at the wedding and he turned water into wine, everybody focuses on, well, can we drink wine? Should we drink? And really what Jesus is talking about is, because what did the people say? They said, the new wine is better than the old. Because what happens is they said, when people drink, they want the good stuff at the beginning. And then when people get drunk or they get loosened up, and then they bring in the new stuff, which isn't as good, so they don't really care. Right? But they're saying the new wine is so much better than the old wine. So it was they didn't understand that. But what Jesus was, it was a typology of the new wine, which is the new covenant, right? Which is us becoming new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The new creature that the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is better than our old nature. And if we try to put the Holy Spirit in us in our without being born again and becoming a new creature, we don't have the capacity to handle the new covenant. We don't have the capacity to handle that new wine that Jesus talks about. And he's referencing the new covenant. So we need the Holy Spirit to be able to have a capacity to hold his presence, right? How many watch or listen to Jesse Duplantis and some of those guys before, and some of those talking about like trips to heaven and things like that too? People will say things like, well, you just can't, you know, you can't stand in front of the presence of God because you can't handle it. Well, our old man can't handle that, right? I would not be able to stand in this present form because, you know, we live in this flesh. We're in a fallen state, right? I would not be able to live and stand in front of God and his throne. But people have gone had where the Lord has taken their spirit, or they, you know, had experiences, things like that. So we don't have the capacity to be able to handle. I mean, can you imagine standing at the throne room of God? Your body would just, we couldn't handle it. Because he's so wonderful, he's so holy and pure that our body's in this fallen state. But guess what? We're going to have a brand new body at some point, right? I always think about that too, where I mean, people who die, or you know, like you know, people who die at sea and then there's no more of them left, or people are deteriorated, or you know, at some point. But God, it says that we're going to have a new glorified body there in Revelation. And the cool thing about that is how God can take it, even if we're, you know, cremated or anything else, and he can just kind of put all the pieces back together and make us brand new. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I don't see that in any of the old evolution books, do you? How we can have that happen. No, it's a supernatural thing. So not only, see, the thing of it is we belong to God, and it says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit can dwell in us and live in us. And did you know that at the end of this time when we are, those of us who are born again, we're saved, we go to heaven at some point, we, you know, our time's up here on the earth, we see our family and friends that are born again and everything else too, and you know, at some point, our body is going to follow suit. We see there in 1 Thessalonians that what? Those who are dead in Christ will rise first. I used to work in a cemetery, and I always sit there, and I'd be on that mower sometimes, and I always think, man, what would it be like to, like, see the rapture right now? I mean, you know what? I mean, I just, like, first of all, I'd freak out. You know, it'd be pretty crazy. But I'm always sitting on the mower going, you know, what if rapture happened right now? You know? And I had a grandpa over there, and I had some great aunts over here, and some family members and stuff. And I thought, whoa, that would be just crazy. You know, boom, and then, you know, trumpet, and then all of a sudden, people blowing out, and then us who are alive and remaining will follow too. And I just kind of wonder how that's going to happen. We're going to have some hang time where people kind of drifting along up there, waving at people. I mean, I don't know how I don't really know how that's going to look. You know, I read the Bible, and I don't know. But it's going to be pretty crazy, and it's going to be pretty exciting, right? So the point is, God said, I made the body, it belongs to me, and I want it back. And I want it back, I want you to have it back. So the great thing about the new covenant is not only are we going to be on the inside changed, right? The Holy Spirit can come upon us, and we'll talk more about that later down the road. But also, too, our body is going to be regenerated. We're going to have a glorified body. Hallelujah. I can eat what I want, and I don't have to worry about it. Isn't that great? You know? Hallelujah. It's going to be great. But we know that the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in us, and we can have Him dwell in us and upon us. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We'll close here in a few minutes. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And this is when Jesus, kind of his last commission. We call it the Great Commission at the end here. And it says verse 15, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Oh, great. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. Great. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. And now, again, a little recourse here. The Apostle Paul, when he was on an island after shipwreck, he went in to grab some wood, and a snake clamped onto him that was poisonous, and they went off and shook it in the fire, and he was, completely fine. I don't advocate going out playing with snakes, right? Some people, they like handling snakes. It says, if we happen to drink anything. Well, I spent some time in Africa, and you got to use your faith over there, right? you got to use your faith in Iowa now. Stuff we're eating and drinking in the water and everything else. Like, Lord, help us here. We need to use our faith all the time, don't we? Right? And so it doesn't mean that I'm going to go drink Drano, or I'm going to, eat. What are those Tide Pods or whatever those that you put them in? Where there's people for a while eating the pods where you clean your clothes or whatever? Yeah, I don't know. I'm totally amazed now when I have to look at a battery and it says don't drink the battery acid. That why we've come to the level where we need to tell people don't drink battery acid or don't do these things, but. There's always the one that breaks the mold. So, but then he goes on and he says here, and if you drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt you. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. I love this last part here. It says, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. And that means it's finished. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. Here we go. And the Lord worked through them. The King James says with them. I like that too. Confirming that they said by many miracles and signs. So the great thing is the Holy Spirit is working with us. The Holy Spirit is engaged in our process here. whatever it is that we're doing. Let's look at, I'm going to bring out a few things, other things tonight. Let's look at that's what I want. Yes, let's look at Luke chapter 3. Well, a few more scriptures here. Luke chapter 3. Actually, let's look at, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And I want to get additional parallels of the Holy Spirit tonight and how He operates with us. Because, when I was, someone prayed for me, I was probably 12 years old, Sunday night, and the pastor prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my thought process was the Holy Spirit's just going to possess me and take over. And I'm just going to be an autopilot and neutral, and the Holy Spirit's just going to do everything through me. Well, that's not true. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman, and He leads and guides, and He gently, there's The Holy Spirit's gentle. He doesn't force people to do things. He doesn't manipulate. He loves people, and he wants to bring us along. Well, we see here, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was what? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, and then Jesus ate nothing at that time and became very hungry. And so one of the things that, if we skip back to the previous chapter right there, kind of right before that, verse 21, Luke chapter 3, verse 21, and it says, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized, and he was praying, and the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. Now, this is one of the very few portions where it's recorded Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. It mentions they're all in one place at the same time, right? Of course, they're also manifest on the mountain of transfiguration, right? Where Jesus transforms into light. Peter says, again, does and says just kind of dumb things. And he says, gets nervous and doesn't know what to say or do. And he says, well, let's build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then we see what the Father said, this is my son, hear ye him. And what's the Father doing? He's saying, whatever that Jesus says is what I'm putting my stamp of approval on, right? And really, it's a typology of what? Moses is the law, Elijah's the prophet, but Jesus is the new covenant. And what's God saying? My focus is on the new covenant with Jesus. So, we're seeing here, look at Genesis 1:1, and we'll close here in a moment. Genesis 1:1, but we're seeing what happens, that the Holy Spirit is waiting for us, and he wants to engage us, but he's often, what? Waiting for us and our activity so that he can join us. See, Jesus was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't see really anything really remarkable about Jesus other than his birth. And then we see what? He's about 12 years old in the temple. And then people were amazed at his knowledge. And then we see kind of at this point where his cousin John Baptist was, he baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, right? So what is it? Jesus' act of obedience to become baptized, water baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. So the Holy Spirit was waiting for him to be obedient so that he could engage Jesus. Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Well, actually, while you're standing there, I want to skip down and just keep your finger in. I want to read this as well. We skip down to verse 18 in Luke chapter 4. And this is what Jesus is prophesying here as well. He's reading out of Isaiah, but he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has what? Anointed me to bring good news to the people. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and all eyes of the synagogue looked on him intently, and he began to speak to them, saying, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled to this very day. Now, that's interesting because he proclaimed that in the temple. He said what his goals, what he was set out to do. The scripture does not talk about him overthrowing the Roman government, right? But what does he start with? His ministry. The what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What is he saying? Everything begins with the Holy Spirit. My existence and my ministry is starting with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1:1, and we're going to see when the world began. You're going to see the Holy Spirit has his fingers in everything that we do. His fingerprints are all over throughout the Bible. Sometimes it doesn't say the Holy Spirit. It'll the Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord, different things like that. We're going to see here Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Great! What does the Holy Spirit have to do with it? Here we go. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here we go. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then what happened after that? Boom, boom, bang, bang, things start happening, right? Light happens. And then the waters begins to separate, and the land starts to appear. And then later, you know, animals and birds and, you know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and all these things are happening, right? Because why? The Holy Spirit is backing up, involved, engaged. See, it's the same process in Genesis chapter 1 that it was that Jesus prophesied in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He's prophesying about himself. It's the same process there in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, right? When Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the same process we just read about in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20. The Holy Spirit working with them. The Lord was working with them. The Holy Spirit's engaged in everything. And then we got most of the church that ignores him and does not have any acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit, but he's involved in everything. And he's much of the fuel behind the church today. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Who has the power and delivers the goods to us that Jesus paid the price with? It is the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So again, it's the Holy Spirit is moving a direction. We've got to follow him and follow after him. We'll close here. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Actually, there's another portion I want to read really quick here. There was Acts chapter 1. I'll get there. I'm going to pull it up myself here. And even at the end, the disciples still couldn't believe the purpose often of what Jesus had. Here we go. Acts chapter 1. Let's start with verse 4. And it's so funny because when you read the first chapter of Acts, you're sitting there thinking, the disciples walked with Jesus, but they still don't get it. I mean, the church is really going to just really kick off here. And we see what? Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem. So Jesus is telling them, after he died, rose from the dead, told them, stay in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere, just wait. I got a promise for you. And what's it say? But wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Basically, he says, I've told you about the promise. And then verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days forth. And now get this, verse 6. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, we just read, Jesus prophesied, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and then he gave a litmus of everything that he was called to do. And what did the disciples say here? And they were come together, and they asked him, Lord, what will be the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He was like, what are they saying? Okay, yeah, that's great. When are we going to get it rid of the Romans? When's everything going to come back to normal? And they still didn't get it. Because what was Jesus' ministry? To deliver people. To usher in the Holy Spirit. To bring in the new covenant. Right? The disciples and the people were still focused on getting out from underneath the Roman rule. And Jesus is bringing life. He's bringing freedom. And he's overcoming spiritual death. And they still don't get it. But where does it all begin? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning, the creation of the earth. The Holy Spirit was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And in fact, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, right? The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning, at every single pivotal point in the Bible, the Holy Spirit was involved. The Holy Spirit had a hand in bringing Jesus to earth. It was Father sent him, but the Holy Spirit was instrumental in that. The Holy Spirit was instrumental in empowering Jesus to the ministry. The Holy Spirit was there, again, creating, helping create the world, manifesting everything that came out of the Father's mouth. The Holy Spirit is so... I feel like often the church looks at the Father and then Jesus, which are important, but we're overlooking the Holy Spirit, which is instrumental in everything in the Word. Everything we've seen. Because without Him, we don't have anything. Jesus paid the price, but the Holy Spirit is delivering these things and making things happen for us. And then verse 8, but you will receive power after that. Who? The Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit is involved here. Bringing us power, healing people, delivering things. Delivering us. And you shall be witnesses to both unto me, Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. You know, Jesus thought it was so important that he didn't do anything, didn't start his ministry, didn't do anything until he received the Holy Spirit. And he said the Holy Spirit was the one there in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that has empowered him to be able to do the things that the Father called him to do. And that's why it's so important that Jesus referenced the Holy Spirit as his helper, his advocate, his guide. And he said, I'm going to give him to you because now the things I've done, I've experienced, I'm going to give that to you and you're going to experience this also. And there's so many blessings with the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so precious to be able to be listening to the Holy Spirit and just hear. You know, we were talking to him in prayer earlier today just about, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to us about things and just listening to the Holy Spirit and just begin to open yourself. Just begin to open yourself. And we were just praying for just people, and I just want to share this too, just people in the church, and I believe in the body of Christ, we've lost hope on things. Some people have just lost hope. Maybe there's just some things, maybe your finances, a marriage, your relationships, work, whatever it is, you just lost hope on. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord, wants to revive some things in us. Amen? I believe that God wants to bring back, the Lord wants to bring back joy into people. And just a new hunger and a new level for the things of God. And so tonight, Father, we just thank you for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, we're going to continue to talk about you. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, all that you've done. And Lord, we just glorify you. We thank you that we can know you by just proclaiming that, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And we can acknowledge tonight, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus, we thank you so much for your sacrifice. We can proclaim tonight that you are the Son of God and that the Father did raise you from the dead, and we have victory because of you. And we thank you for the help and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we value you so much, and we love you so much, and we thank you for all you do in our lives and in the life of our Lord and Savior, that you empowered him to defeat the enemy. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.